This episode of the Press Road Podcast is brought to you by Out of the Park Developments, makers of Out of the Park Baseball 18, Franchise Hockey Manager 4, and MLB Manager 2017. Every single Wednesday night is Out of the Park Night around the world, live on twitch.tv/OOTP Developments. Join our great community managers and game developers for 3 hours of Out of the Park Developments fun. It starts every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, with our baseball associate community manager, Snagglejay, Chris Jardine, streaming live for an hour. That's followed by our baseball community manager, TJ Lowerman, a.k.a. That Sports Gamer, doing an hour live. And then that is followed up at 10 p.m. Eastern by franchise hockey community manager, Adam Burnett, and franchise hockey manager, producer Jeff Riddles, doing another live hour. That's 3 hours of fun. Come watch and see why our games are so well-loved by the community. Interact live with the community managers and the developers, and just have some fun with a bunch of other people who love sports and video games and sports video games. That's every single Wednesday night, starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, live at 8 p.m., 9 p.m., and 10 p.m. Eastern, the baseball and the hockey, live on twitch.tv/OOTP Developments. And if you can't be there live, that's fine, because every couple of days afterwards, all of that gets archived to our YouTube page, youtube.com/OTP Developments. Thanks, everybody. Come support the team and enjoy the show. Well, hey, everybody. Rich Grisham here. Thank you, as always, for listening to the Press Row Podcast. We really appreciate it. Tonight, it's part two of our great fun series, All Our Rowdy Friends. And when we get various friends of the Press Row Podcast to join us and count down their top three favorite sports video games of 2017. A lot of fun tonight. We've got four different segments. We've got our good friend Ryan Lewis, who I've known and worked with since way back in the fourth string days. We've got Corey Andrus and Daniel Basil, otherwise known as Uber YouTuber, joining us together for a segment. We've got our good friend Matt Cotto from Game Informer, and then we've got Adam Burnett and Jeff Riddles, the community manager and the producer, respectively, of Franchise Hockey Manager. All four segments are a whole lot of fun, some very different choices from very different perspectives. So thanks, everybody, as always, for listening. We really appreciate it very much. Enjoy the show. Well, okay, again, as everybody knows, the reason that this is one of my favorite shows is because I get to talk to all my friends, new friends, old friends. And up next, we have somebody I've known for a long time. I don't even know how long, more than 10 years. Somebody who I spent several fun years with on the Fourth String Podcast, which is obviously the precursor to the Press Row Podcast. And he also happens to be the best graphic designer I've ever known, an incredibly smart digital marketer, and really just a heck of a guy, Mr. Ryan Lewis. Ryan, welcome back to the show. It's been a while. How are you, man?
I'm doing great. I feel like it's been decades, Rich. I think we were working on like print books, right? The old, yeah. Those old Heidelberg presses when we first started. And then now we used to be talking about like, what was that game where you put the ball into like the little cup, like when you just got, it's on a string. That was the first game, a sports game, I think we reviewed back when we started.
And,
so.
And our online franchise petition never did get off the ground for some reason. Can't figure that out.
Yeah. They needed to invent the whole internet first, I feel like. But, you know, what are you going to do? We could have not, we never known that that was going to happen back in the 1800s.
That's true. That's true. Mm-hmm. So, 2017, favorite sports games of the year. Ryan, you are, you've got a long history with these franchises. So, I'm really interested to hear your take on the current crop. So, let's just jump right into it, shall we? What is number three on your list of your top sports games of 2017?
Okay, so number three was like a little bit tough because I feel like out of all the sports games I've played, I would say like if I had to describe like how I felt about the games this year, I'd just say like content. I don't think there wasn't any of the major titles that necessarily blew me away, but I'm like, these all look great, they play great, I'm having fun playing these games. So the third one was like a little bit tough because it was kind of like the third and the fourth were pretty close. So I will just let you know that my third is MLB The Show.
Nice.
17. And it kind of edged out NBA 2K just a little bit, which is, you know, those, I think any other year, those are probably my one and two. Cause they're such well-made games, both of them. That's what I want to say about NBA 2K. It's like, I didn't necessarily like the direction that they went with the online aspect of the My Player mode. That's the one that I spend the most time in, and
oh,
I
really?
realize it's, yeah, like I just, you know, like I, the franchise mode in that game is so complex and so, it's so detailed and it's great, but it just gets a little bit, you know, basketball, like I love it. I'm starting to get more into it, but it's still a little bit too complex for me to really dive too into. And that's a little bit similar with MLB The Show's franchise. Like I like playing it, but I spend a lot more time in the single player mode in that one, you know, Road to the Show. And that's why I kind of had to give it the nod. I just felt like the little tweaks that they made to kind of start bringing it into a more story-based mode, with the changes that they made, I think it wasn't this year, it was the year before, to kind of keep it so that you could play a whole game series before you had to go back into the clubhouse.
Right.
It makes how I play that mode, like that's the game that I'll play year round when I'm just like, oh, I'm just going to play a few games because they're quick if you're doing them, you know, the Road to the Show style. And I just like, you know, the ball physics, like just added this extra little, like hits are kind of a little bit more fun. Graphics, you know, improved a great deal. And NBA 2K, you know, I just want to say like that game is fantastic and they did, you know, some cool improvements, just not, you know, just didn't speak to me like MLB The Show did this year.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, The Show, you know, as we've talked about, I've sort of invented my own way to play that game a lot, which is to player lock with the guy for five or six innings and then play the rest of it, which has really also transformed my NBA 2K because now I don't, when I play NBA 2K, I'm in playing my franchise and I simulate all the way through about the past halftime up to around 7 or 8 minutes and left in the third period. And then I jump in and that's been a whole thing. So now I'm like, I'm playing all these games in these strange modes. Of course, when I play Madden, if I'm playing against the CPU, I'm just playing as offense because playing defense is boring. So like, I don't even play these games like the regular way anymore because you don't have to. And they let you sort of create your own experience, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah. No, that's the fascinating part about all these games actually this year is that there's so many different ways to play them now, especially even inside of a mode like you're talking about. I mean, you're probably one of like maybe a dozen people that play it that way, or
right.
Who knows? Maybe
right.
Maybe there's literally thousands or tens of thousands of people that do that. But I think it's a genius idea if you're just like, you know, I just want to get the gist of it. You know, I think some people want to have so much control over it, but hard to say.
Yeah. It all comes down to, do I feel like I'm still influencing the game?
Yeah.
And when I pick up the game, you know, with 7, 8 minutes left in the third, sometimes, you know, I'm up by 5 or 6. Sometimes I'm down by 10. Sometimes it's even. But either way, there's more than enough time left for me to sort of either screw it up and lose badly or not screw it up and, you know, win by a point or two. So
yeah. And basketball, you know, basketball is a sport that I think in general, and this could be said of any sport, but for some reason I have the perception that in the last 2 minutes of basketball, maybe even in the last minute, you know, if it's even a 6-point game, it's still like super close and it's back and forth. And then you foul for like the last minute to, you know, to get them to the free throw line. So I feel like you could do that with basketball. Like if you just simmed like MLB The Show, for example, and you get to like the eighth or ninth inning and
that's
you just,
totally
you know,
different.
Yeah. Because it could be, you know, 7-3 and you're like, well, you know, this is, I'm at the middle of the lineup, you know, it's just not going to happen. So
Yeah,
basketball works that way.
Well, all right. So NBA 2K narrowly edged up by MLB The Show for number 3. What, Mr. Lewis, is your number 2?
My number 2 is Madden 18, which, you know, it's okay. So this is the thing about sports games this year. Like the ones I rewarded the most are the ones that I thought kind of took the biggest risk, because the disappointing part about Madden, if I want to get that out of the way first, is that the mode I love the most, the mode that I spend, you know, playing all football season long, you know, franchise mode, it obviously, you know, didn't really change from last year. Like it really was, you know, I mean, there's a couple subtle tweaks to some of the play calling and, you know, it just feels like the exact same game inside of that mode, which, you know, I thought, you know, last year's, you know, 17 was fine. So that's fine. But I think, you know, kind of it feels like they've been heading towards, you know, what they eventually did with Longshot the past couple years when they do the intro, when you played as the Rams for 17 and you played as the Panthers against, I think it was the Seahawks in 16.
Yep.
And I felt like there was something more there. And I just, man, Longshot, like you look at the credits for that, if you get through it And that, I mean, it's a movie essentially. Like it's got a whole production crew that did all these different things. Like all the, you know, obviously video games in general have a huge crew working on them, but just seeing like the number of people that worked on that mode, that's a huge risk to them, because it's not like, you know, it's a, I think 3 or 4 hour mode that you play. And then when you're done, you're done. And because of that, I'm assuming, you know, they obviously could develop or put resources towards franchise mode. But I enjoyed that so much. You know, I enjoyed actually going through that and the story, and just there, it wasn't perfect, but I really had a fun time with it. I was really impressed.
I dug it. I thought it was a lot of fun. I thought it was original. In particular, you know, this is an NFL licensed game, so you can't just have it be anything either. You know, the reality of the situation is they have to work all of this stuff into something that the NFL will allow to be in the game, which, you know, it's not something that should be ignored either. So with all of those factors, I'm with you, man. I thought it was fantastic. Now, granted, you know, Adrian Todd Zuniga, our friend, you know, was a major part of that. But I would have enjoyed it regardless. I certainly feel better enjoying it more because of, you know, Todd being the writer of it and Mike Young being the creative director. But, you know, either way, I thought it was terrific.
Yeah, no, and that's why I think that's why I just would, you know, it was so notable. And it's not that the game as a whole, you can't like look at it and say, okay, this was markedly better than MLB The Show or NBA 2K as far as like just overall. But I mean, I just think that, you know, it just gets me really excited about what they're going to do to move that forward, because the potential there, I mean, like it's essentially a movie type story. But then how do you take that and then make that maybe into like a more expanded mode where your choices maybe have a little bit more weight, or maybe it ties into like how you play, you know, connected franchise or, you know, any of those kinds of things. So, yeah, I just really, really had a fun time with that. And I was really pleasantly surprised by it, you know, when I played that. So
question for you. Mm-hmm. Let's say you're in the room with the guys who are running the franchise mode. What do you want to see out of franchise? What aren't you getting that you want to see? Or like, you know, I'm just curious, because I, you know, I've chatted with this about a couple other folks. Like for me, I have no problem with franchise sort of staying the same right now, and I realize it's heresy to a lot of people, but for the way that I play it, I'm good. You know, just the fact that it exists and I can pick it up every year and play online with my friends or play offline on my own, I'm good. But I realize that I'm the minority. There's a lot of people at Play Franchise that want to see more, want to see something different. So I'm curious, what are some of the things that you'd like to see them do? Or even thematically, where would you like them to take the franchise mode where it isn't yet?
Yeah, so I mean, I think that's just going to be so subjective in a lot of ways, which is probably why it hasn't really changed a ton. It's maybe it's like the Moore's Law of video games, you know, how it's like computers get smaller and then you reach kind of this threshold. Maybe franchises get so, you know, the tweaks are so small that they just always seem, you know, to not have as much meaning. But I think part of the problem with the franchise mode right now is that the stakes are so low, and they, like, the rewards seem kind of ridiculous. Like, you get into it and you're like, okay, here's your big decisions. You're a coach. Are you gonna win 7 games, 8 games, you go to the Super Bowl? And it's like that becomes meaningless after you start playing. Like, it really just turns into this thing where it's like, you know, it takes so long to play a franchise that you're not even thinking about that anymore. So a few different things that I'd like to do is have a little bit more, you know, meaning to the highlights, which they're getting better at. Like, you know, they have the commentary that's updated and things like that. But talking about things that you do, like if you make a big trade, or if you, you know, having it so that it has more meaning subjectively to you, like when you actually do different things inside a franchise. For example, if you have a big injury or something like that, I know that they, like, you know, these big decisions that you've made, and they kind of make improvements on that. But I think, like, you look at, like, you know, the Eagles, for example, like losing Carson Wentz and their season's over.
I mean, kind of thing. Are you serious? You're really going here.
No, I'm not saying that they need to make it so that that happens. I'm just giving an example of, like,
no, I'm just saying, like, but I was in a good mood. I was in a good mood.
No, I should have brought. Okay, the Packers. Fine, they lose Aaron Rodgers. Everything
much better. There you go.
Well, so, you know, I mean, the thing that happens in, like, real life when something like that happens is the team, you know, the fans start to kind of turn on the team. And it's like, oh, is Mike McCarthy our right coach? And do we need to fire Dom Capers because the defense is so bad? I mean, you know, my Seahawks have seen the same thing where it's like their offense has been a tire fire for, I mean, it really has been bad for the past couple of years. They've just had stretches where Russell Wilson goes off. But, you know, they lose a bunch of players on defense and all of a sudden it's like, oh, you know, the team's done, the window's closed. So how does that, you know, in game, like how does that reflect when things like that happen, and how do you strategize for your draft picks and things? And, you know, maybe there's an assistant or something like that that can kind of give you some ideas like, oh, I want to recruit this, or I want to or not recruit, I want to scout this type of player, and like gives you a little bit more guidance maybe and a little bit more kind of reaction from the fans when things happen. Like, a little, I mean, I don't know. There's so many different things that it could do. I feel like NCAA 14, even when I play that, I have more of a feeling of like the decisions I make a lot more meaning inside of that game. It feels like that just, they haven't quite gotten there with Madden yet.
Very good. All right. Well, Ryan Lewis, that brings us to your official top favorite number one sports video game for 2017.
Okay. So this comes down to the fact that like I was excited about, I had heard this game be announced like maybe a couple weeks before it came out, and I'm like, that is such a cool concept. If I could make a game, or if someone said, hey Ryan, what's the exact game that you want as like a fun kind of game that like, you know, maybe no one's even thought about doing, and that would be the premise behind Golf Story, my number one sports game of the year.
Yes,
so good.
I am completely in love with this game. Had not really known about it until a couple different people mentioned it. Number one, Chris Johnson from the Player One podcast. Number two, Kat Bailey. It was her sports game of the year on the show a couple of weeks ago. And so when that happened, I'm like, all right, I have to go get this game. And I have not stopped playing it since I got it. It is wonderful. I'm so happy you picked this game. It is
great. Yeah. Oh man, it's so much fun. It's just, you know, it's such a fun idea, and golf I think is the perfect sport to do. You know, this kind of, you know, they call it an RPG, which, and it has RPG elements, but really it's just a silly story about, you know, this, you build up this golfer and you kind of complete all these quests and things. And the actual golf mechanics behind it are fun. They're, you know, easy to pick up. And, you know, but there's a little skill to it. Just because of some of the obstacles and things.
And it keeps really building, creative. Too. It keeps building and building.
Building and building. And, you know, it's, and what's interesting about these indie games is, like, I actually played through and I got to a point where I hit a game-breaking bug. And this is something that you wouldn't, this level of bug you would never hit in a AAA game, because essentially I was just like, there was nothing I could do with the game anymore. It was just like, you know, there was a save point, and my player turned really small, and I'm like, oh, well, that's no good. But, you know, I went on Twitter and kind of saw it, like other people had kind of ran into this bug. It wasn't everyone that did. And then it got patched, you know, a couple weeks later, and I went back into it. I'm like, oh, yes. Like, and then, you know, went through it again. But it's just, you know, the music, the graphics, the writing, the just the game mechanics, just like how it plays and like the little obstacles, like, and how each course kind of has its own character. Like there's, you know, one that's like the moles at the very beginning, they kind of take your ball and move it. And then the birds do that in a different place. And then you have one where it's like there's ghosts and things. I mean, it's a sports game because it's golf, but it's also like has a story to it. And it's just really well made and so much fun. And it's, you know, maybe it's because it did something different and I was just really looking for that this year. But just the charm and everything all together with this game, like, definitely make it my number one game of the year.
I love it. As I said, I've been playing it constantly for weeks. I am captivated by it. It also works beautifully on the Switch, just as, you know, device. I mean, it's the kind of game where it's fun to play it on TV, but it's also fun to play it on the go.
Yeah.
There's a lot to it, as you mentioned, as well. There's a lot going on in here. But it's not complicated. My son loves it too, which is a lot of fun. At one point, he was playing it in the last couple of days, and he's like, we got to go play golf again soon. I'm like, yes, we do. I love to hear that. Yes, we do.
Yeah, no, and that's, I think that's, you know, that's kind of even more of a special experience too, to have, you know, young kids. Like my oldest daughter, like, you know, she's 7, and she's played it and stuff. I don't think she's quite as into it, but she definitely, you know, when we first kind of played it for a little while, she would sit and watch the story and kind of see what's going on, and so you can have that interaction with it. But the story is funny enough and fun enough to where it's like it's not necessarily, you know, made for younger kids, but they can kind of join along with it, which is, I don't know, what's interesting about this game, this is the last thing I'm saying about it, is like, I don't know, I would love to like see who made this game. I feel like the developer is kind of shrouded in mystery on some level, and I could be wrong, but when I first was like looking it up, I couldn't, you know, sidebar games, like haven't seen any other games that this developer's made. I would love to hear kind of the development story and the pitch on how this game kind of came together, because it's just, there's not much like it, you know. I mean, I guess you could say maybe Stardew Valley had some influence on it, and maybe, you know, some other, I'm trying to think of the golf game like on PlayStation 2 that kind of has a similar mechanic, but it's just, you know, it's just, there's so much fun charm to it that you would never see from like a bigger studio, which is, you know, also part of the reason why it's so much fun and has so much character.
Love it. Ryan Lewis, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Where can people find you on the internet, sir?
Oh, man. Well, I guess Twitter would probably be the only place that I really, you can check out my DeviantArt account. No, my Twitter is at Ryan the Lou. I tweet about the Seahawks and stupid jokes. So tune in for that.
Good stuff. All right. Thank you very much. Well done. Love the list. Let's get you back on the show a few more times in 2018. What do you say?
Sounds good to me, man.
Love it. All right. Thank you.
All right. See ya.
Well, okay. We have two great friends of the show up next. Two of my favorite people. Up first, good friend, a longtime friend of the Press Row podcast. He is currently the global manager of communication for all of EA Vancouver's titles and EA's mobile titles. Mr. Corey Andrus. Corey, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Rich, I'm so, so good. Very, very happy to be back. I really miss podcasting. So it's a pleasure to be back on the show. I miss you greatly, being that you at one point were my boss. But it's really exciting to be back and talking to you tonight. So good, happy to be here.
Awesome. Well, before we get into it, tell us a little bit about what you're doing over there, because every time I talk to you, your role's getting bigger and more fantastic. So what's going on these days with you?
You know, just trying to take over the world one step at a time. You know how it is. I started at EA about a year and a half ago now. Obviously, I'd worked with you previously on, you know, Out of the Park and some other great projects. And, you know, I'm really thankful to be in the position I'm in, no doubt. I think that, you know, when I started off here at EA, for me, it was to be basically a community manager for the mobile sports team. And you know, that kind of transitioned into more of a management role. And now I've you know, incredibly humbled and blessed to be playing a bigger role now with EA Sports specifically, and now lead communications for, you know, all the, as you said, all the EA Vancouver titles. So UFC, NHL, FIFA, obviously biggest brand in the world, which is a huge deal for me. You know, Rich, I think we've had lots of conversations in the past about FIFA as a brand and about, you know, that taking up so much of our time obviously a lot of our video game time is, you know, kind of growing up. And so to be working on that title for me is, honestly, it's a dream come true, to just be in this position. And honestly, like, you know, coming to EA, was obviously a dream come true for me, but knowing how I got here, coming from the community, coming from, you know, working with people such as yourself and, you know, other people that have been on this show in the past. And it's, you know, I always try to remember, like, you know, where I come from and where my roots begin. So, you know, I always give props to people like Dazar and you know, Scott O'Gallagher, who obviously work at 2K now. And we started off, you know, doing podcasts, doing shows like this at a, you know, at an incredibly young age, talking about like video game basketball. You know, worked with Pasta Padre as a writer in the past. Like, there was so many, you know, I basically grew up in this community. So for me to be in this position now where I can help other people and hopefully like help people enjoy our games more and help people come into the studios. You know, people such as the person you're going to introduce here shortly, worked with him as well. And I think that, you know, that I'm just really honored and humbled to be in that position. So, that's kind of what I've been up to. It's been it seems like a pretty long journey here in the last year and a bit. But I'm just super happy, and always humbled by where I'm at. So just excited to keep doing what I'm doing, man.
Awesome. Well, hey, we're excited to have you, and we're all here for the right reasons, right? We're trying to make good things happen in the incredibly great world of sports video games. Another one of those people making good things happen, doing good work in that respect, is our good friend, Uber YouTuber himself, Mr. Daniel Basil. Daniel, how are you, sir?
Doing very well, Rich. Thanks for having me once again. And as Corey mentioned, you know, I've listened to the Press Row podcast for many years now. And I used to listen to Corey and Mark's podcast as well. And so to be on the show with you, Rich, and Corey, and be that an end of the year show, which those were always my favorite, is truly an honor. So very happy to be here.
Awesome. Well, these are always so much fun because you know you cannot be wrong with your own personal list of your favorite games. Even though people regularly tell me that I am, it's physically impossible to be wrong. So we're going to do this fantasy football draft style, snake style. So we're going to start with you, Daniel. Daniel, what is number three on your list of sports video games for 2017? Oh, wait. You wanted an honorable mention, though, didn't you?
I do have an honorable mention. I wasn't
sure if
you're
cheating already, folks. He's not going by the plan.
Altering the rules. But I really want to give this game some credit. It's almost the 3A and 3B. Pro Evolution Soccer 2018 is just phenomenal. I spent a lot of time playing it. Master League is really, really good. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff to do in the game. Really enjoy the on-the-pitch action, PES. I always do. I really have the last few years. I always do. So I want to give some kudos to Konami for keep making this game and making it just better every year, and it's great. So that's my honorable mention.
Okay, well then hold on a second before we let you go to number three. Corey, do you have an honorable mention?
I sure do. I'll throw one out there. My honorable mention actually is Everybody's Golf. So this is a game that kind of, you know, it's been around for a while. A lot of people know it as Hot Shots Golf. That comes from the Sony Studios. And honestly, like, it was one of those games that I wasn't really expecting a lot out of when it dropped this year. You know, just didn't expect to get. I mean, I knew I'd play it. I just didn't know to what extent I would play it. And, you know, I ended up putting a lot of time into the title. I mean, I don't think that there's an incredible amount of depth there. I think there's, like, you know, not too many courses. But being that we haven't had, you know, a lot of golf products out there, obviously we had the Golf Club 2 drop this year, which is great. But, you know, it's just something about Everybody's Golf that really hit me the right way. My kids can pick up and play it. I spent a lot of time in there. It was really easy to kind of, the controls were really easily done. And yeah, I really enjoyed it. I like the open world atmosphere of, like, the, you know, when you go in and have that hub, you can just kind of walk around. You know, it felt a little bit grindy at times, but I think that, like, it was a game that I sunk a lot of hours into. And so I don't know if it would be well placed to put in my top three, but it was definitely a game I sunk a lot of hours into this year. So I'll throw that out as an honorable mention.
Excellent. Very good. All right. So now let's actually get to the real number three. Daniel, what is number three on your list?
So number three is NBA Live 18. I really, really enjoyed this game a lot. This is probably the most fun I've had playing with my friends since maybe playing pro clubs and FIFA. Was it FIFA 15, maybe? I had a lot of fun playing that. But as far as doing the life runs, 5-on-5 action with your friends, I really enjoyed NBA Live 18. It's not a day. And then, you know, they have a lot of cool, like, they just constantly update content. They have a lot of cool, like, gear that you can unlock. And even those things, you play versus the CPU in these live strikes and takedown events. You play it versus the CPU, but play it with your friends, which makes it really cool. And it just, there isn't a day that goes by where I don't log into NBA Live 18. So I have to put it in my top three just because of the amount of hours I've put into this game. And I've now created three different players and pretty much maxed them out. I just have a ton of fun playing NBA Live 18, and I'm really only playing one mode. I've dabbled a little bit in Ultimate Team, and that's phenomenal as well. But NBA Live 18 has really taken me by surprise this year. I've really found myself playing it more than I thought I might, but it's a positive surprise. So I'm super happy to put NBA Live 18 in my top three.
Fantastic. All right. Well, Corey, what's number three on your list?
That's a really good shout out by Daniel. I think NBA Live is, you know, a product that this year has come a long way. Obviously, you know, being that I work at EA, I'm really going to try my hardest to kind of keep a lot of our titles out of the top three. Not necessarily because I, you know, do not enjoy our sports games, just because more so that I, you know, I want to give some props to other games that I play and other companies that obviously I'm in tune with. And while I think NBA Live made incredible strides this year, and I'm really happy that I think it's really gotten a good market share now, that there's people enjoying that product, I'm going to give my third spot to NBA 2K18. You know, obviously, like, you know, I'm a little bit biased in the sense that I do have friends that work on the title, but, you know, I think that the game is fantastic. Obviously, like, they're, you know, I think an inspiration to everybody in sports gaming. I think that goes without saying that, like, you know, obviously, you know, even though they're a competitor with our product, I think that they put out a great game every single year. That, you know, it continues to surprise me how deep that game is. That the modes themselves are just fantastic. It's a game that I obviously sink a lot of time into. That, you know, they obviously have the, you know, the new playground stuff this year, which is pretty interesting and a neat take on things. Just overall, I find myself, you know, every single year, no matter what they do to that game, I keep coming back and playing it more and more. So I give props to them, you know, considering the fact that they've been a, you know, an outstanding product for so many years, and they continue to try to innovate and take risks with their story modes and with their career modes. You know, again, like, shout out to, you know, a friend I have working there, Leftos, who works so hard in their career modes. You know, those guys do a great job. So, you know, I got to give them props. And just like NBA Live, and I think NBA 2K is just as good this year. And I think that, honestly, we're just in a really good spot with basketball games now. You know, NBA Playgrounds dropped this year as well. Mm-hmm. I saw some YouTubers getting some love in that game, which really makes me excited. And I just think basketball video games right now are in a place that they haven't been in for a really long time. And that's fantastic as a basketball fan. So I think it's cool to point out both of those.
You know, it's funny, and I talked about this on the show a couple of weeks ago, but I continue to play the NBA 2K 18 My GM, where not only are you being the GM and playing the games if you want to, and I found a great rhythm where I'm playing every game, and I'm playing it with 12-minute quarters, and I'm simulating till about anywhere between 10 and 8 minutes left in the third period. And then I play the rest of the game from there. So I get the same sort of length of time experience, but the game is much more in tune with what it would be for real, in that sometimes you're going to be ahead, sometimes you're going to be behind, and sometimes you're going to be close. And then I'm able to sort of play it all out with the regular numbers and stats and minutes and rotations, which is fantastic. But there's also this whole little story that doesn't completely get in the way, but there's enough of this weird story with this ridiculous owner and various sort of things that he wants you to do related to basketball and a little bit not related to basketball. And it just adds enough, like, spice or flavor that is so entertaining. And I don't hear anybody really talking about that. And that's because it's, I think, that very one specific mode. But anyway, I'm right there with you, Corey. NBA 2K is fantastic for a lot of different reasons. Yep. All right, well, let's stay with you for number two, Corey, before we wind our way back to Daniel. What's number two on your list?
So this year, actually, you know, kind of surprised me. I think it's been a favorite for many over the course of the past 4 or 5 years. It's a game that's kind of stayed out of my top three for the past few years just because I didn't find myself playing it as much as most. But my number two this year is MLB The Show 17. Fantastic product. I think that, though, you know, through and through, there's just so many, again, so many different modes in that game that I just enjoy to play. You know, I think when I look at, you know, Road to the Show is something that, you know, how they've really sped it up in the past few years and made games really easy to go through was something that really helped me as a person that doesn't have as much time to game anymore as I did in the past. Being able to get through so many games in such a quick amount of time just really benefits my play style. And being that it's backed by such fantastic graphics, fantastic gameplay, they just continue to kind of push the bar forward. And, I, you know, every year I say to myself, you know, with a you know, a game like baseball, which has been created so beautifully here by San Diego Studios, you think, how much further can they go with it? How much, you know, further can they push that standard? And they just keep doing it every single year. And, you know, I've been kind of hesitant to put it in my top three because of, I guess, the lack of time I put into the game in the past years. But You know, being that like that, you know, obviously now working for a, you know, a video game company that makes sports games, I've tried to put a lot more time into, you know, kind of competitor products and seeing what's out there. And it's a game that just, it really amazes me. And I think that, it, you know, it's well deserved to be in the top three for everybody. I know it's going to reach number one on a lot of people's lists. I know, you know, even, you know, a lot of guys that come onto the show love this title. And I'm, this year I really saw where they're coming from. Just really impressed by that title. So definitely number two for me.
Excellent. All right, Daniel, what is number two on your list?
Yes, number two is going to be Madden 18. That's another game that I really spend a ton of time on. And to me, Madden 18 is one of the most well-rounded games, I think, in the sports game genre. It has a little bit of it has something for everyone, in my opinion. To me, it has the best online franchise mode in the sports gaming genre. Ultimate Team is very solid. I enjoy playing Ultimate Team quite a bit. I spent a lot of time playing Ultimate Team this year. And then they added a whole nother layer with Mud Squads, which, again, much like NBA Life 18, I had a ton of fun playing Mud Squads with my friends. I mean, there were so many great plays made and missed that either get you super hyped or extremely just raging, but in a fun way. That I just had so many memorable moments playing Madden 18 and still do. I still play it quite a bit every week. I play quite a bit with my buddies, and Madden 18 just there's no other game that makes me as excited when I make a good play and as angry when I miss a tackle or when I make a bad play as Madden 18. So really, really loved Madden this year. I'm a pretty big Madden player anyways every year, but just the added layer of Mud Squads this year to be able to play with my friends with their created Mud teams and using mine and everybody having their own role, and then I just really love that. So for me, Madden 18 is in the number two spot this year for me personally.
Very good. All right. Well, let's stay with you for your number one, your favorite sports video game in 2017, Daniel.
Okay, my number one game has to be MLB The Show. Once again, to me, it's the game that represents its real life counterpart the best, in my opinion, on a console. Now, part of it is probably the nature of the sport itself, but another big part is Sony San Diego just knocking it out of the park every single year with all the like small intricacies that baseball has, and they just get it right. And then, you know, not just the presentation's phenomenal. I think only NBA 2K rivals the presentation. The small details and just the authenticity. I really feel like I'm playing baseball when I play MLB The Show. When it comes to pitching, when it comes to hitting, it just feels so authentic, and I don't know how to put it any better than that. I hope that makes sense. I really, really, really enjoy MLB The Show. Diamond Dynasty is phenomenal. I think that's probably my favorite card collecting game mode out in the sports genre. I really like all the different things you can do and how they keep it fresh, how they keep it updated throughout the year and even into the off season. They really do a great job at that. And that's got to be my number one this year.
Very good. All right, mm-hmm. Corey, we will return to you for your favorite sports video game of 2017.
So I'm totally going to cheat here, Rich. And I, you know, that's kind of the purpose for me coming to the show. I love to cheat and do things the wrong way. So for me, I'm actually picking the entire racing genre for 2017.
Okay.
So to break this down a little bit, I really struggled in figuring out my top three in terms of, again, not trying to sound like too much of a homer and putting a bunch of EA games in here, and also trying to be honest with myself and how much time I put into these titles through 2017. And honestly, I played more racing games for more hours this year than I have in probably the last decade. And
well, this is a good year to do that, man. There was a lot of good ones.
Yes. And so, like, honestly, when I look across the spectrum of how many fantastic racing games there are this year, I mean, I mean, going down the list, like, you have Dirt 4, you have F1 2017, which is fantastic. You have Forza 7, Gran Turismo Sport came out this year. NASCAR Heat 2 was well improved. You had Need for Speed Payback, Project Cars 2, Redout came out this year, which was also an amazing game from indie studio. WRC 7 was great. Wipeout was great, the remastered version of that. There's just so many titles in here. I know I'm missing some. I think that the Baja Edge of Control came out that some people are really liking this year.
Absolutely.
Just looking across the spectrum of racing games that we have this year, it's just phenomenal to see. And I mean, there's great things about every one of them. And that's one thing to point out too, that I think it was so difficult to kind of make this selection for me, is that each game really offers something completely different. I when I look at a game like Gran Turismo Sport, looks absolutely phenomenal on my 4K TV. HDR implementation is fantastic. Obviously the photo mode there is probably better than has been done in any other game previous to it. And again, like, it has an online mode that is just vastly different than anything else out there. I know that the offline modes were a little bit lacking in that game, which I think they've since updated with an offline career mode. But just again, that game offered an online mode that I've never seen before. The Dirt franchise is another one where, again, I think it offered modes for everybody. You could stay very simulation like and have some really intense races that were very much like Dirt Rally, its predecessor. And there was also a mode that made it a little bit easier for people. Then again, like, you go to a game like Forza 7, and if you own an Xbox One X, that game looks absolutely phenomenal. It's just on a massive TV screen. The lighting, the rain, everything about it. It's one of the
Corey,
of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. So even other titles like Project Cars 2 had very amazing dynamic weather that just was awesome to see. There was that indie hit. Well, an indie hit to me, which was Redout, which was a really fantastic title as well. It runs in 4K on both the PS4 Pro and the Xbox One X. And it very much reminds me of like an F-Zero, which is really, really fun and something that's up my alley. So I just look across all these games and I'm just amazed. And I haven't even called out F1 2017 too much and the amazing career mode it had, which is kind of a newer iteration on what they had last year. But again, the game runs in 4K, looks absolutely beautiful on the new systems. And it's a game that I've put a lot of hours into. And I think that, again, like, when you look across what we have there, I talked earlier about having a really good basketball market right now, which I think is totally true. I think the racing market we have right now is even better. And I'm really happy that I think all these games have found kind of a specific, little niche where they excel over others. And they're not all trying to do the same thing, which is great. And it's great for us racing fans, and it gives us a bunch of games to play and enjoy. And I have quite a few of them, and I've played quite a few this year and put a lot of hours into them. So props to everybody out there making the racing games this year. You guys knocked it out of the park, from Sony to Microsoft and Turn 10, and everybody else. Just keep doing what you're doing. And like I said, it's really hard to pick one of them, and I know it's a bit of a cop out, but I just can't say how happy I am with the racing this year. It's amazing.
The judges will allow that selection, so you are okay. All right, Corey, where can people see you, follow you, find out what's happening with what you do out there on the internet?
Yeah, well, mostly on Twitter, at EA Corey SA, CoreySA, is where you'll find me mostly ranting about Manchester United sucking through this holiday break. And obviously, you can find me on all the EA channels across FIFA, UFC, NHL, it's going to be a big year for us. Obviously, there's been lots of exciting things this year, and next year is going to be even bigger. Like, looking forward to, seeing a lot of my influencers again at big events like EA Play and all the other stuff we have coming up. And then obviously, UFC launching in just over a month here, which looking really forward to. And I think that people are going to be really happy with that when it comes out. So lots to look forward to this year.
Fantastic. Daniel Basil, Uber YouTuber, where can people find you on the internet, sir?
Yeah, so on Twitter, at Daniel Basil, pretty easy. And then Uber YouTuber on YouTube, pretty simple. I got new channel art, which I'm pretty excited about for the new year. So I'm going to do this whole revamped rebranding, all kinds of new stuff, content coming this year. I'm actually working on an NBA Live 18 montage video with my created character named Stash Curry, who sports a pretty sweet mustache.
So what you're saying is you're borderline Golden State Warrior fan. That's what you're telling me right now, right?
Fair enough. Okay. I may or may not have taken some of Steph Curry's traits.
There we go. You heard it. Closet Warriors fan right here. Confirmed.
Oh, boy.
All right. Well, thank you guys both very much for coming on. Happy New Year. Happy holidays. And we will talk to you again in 2018. What do you say to that?
Awesome. Sounds great, Rich. Appreciate you having us out.
Sounds great. Can't wait.
Well, all right. We are here with good friend of the show, Matt Cato from Game Informer. Matt, welcome back. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me back.
My pleasure. I'm always so interested to get everybody's different perspectives on their favorite games of the year. We've heard from some folks already today, and Matt, you have been in this business for a long time. I know a bunch of people know who you are. You're a Game Informer. You know, you write for that magazine. You do the sports desk as well. But maybe you could just, we could take a step back and for just a moment, talk to us a little bit about your history with sports games. You've been covering them and playing them for a long time, but sort of what's your overall background when it comes to sports video games?
Well, you know, I'm sure like many of some of the older gamers out and listeners out there, for me, it was sort of a split. It was, do I get the SNES because it's the Nintendo product and I love the NES, or do I get the Genesis because I hear that there's this Madden game that, you know, really should only be played on the Genesis? So I went the Genesis route. One of my favorite gaming memories in general was pulling out the old Madden. I think it was, was it 94? Maybe it was before then, where it had the full poster, where it had all the stats listed on for all the players.
Yeah.
You loved poring over that thing. So, mm-hmm. You know, fast forward a bit, and, you know, with Game Informer in particular, you know, one of the guys at Game Informer, he was the Madden guy, and he was moving on. So, you know, the call out for them, for the other editors, was, you know, hey, you know, we need to find somebody who, you know, loves Madden, loves sports games. So that's kind of how I started, you know, in the industry.
You know, it's so funny. Same kind of thing happened to me. I was doing some work for Games Radar, and I did a couple of sports game reviews, and I just became their sports game guy for 10 years. It's interesting how that happens. Well, okay, let's look at 2017. We are counting down everybody's top three sports video games of 2017. So, Matt, give me your number three.
My number three, let's think. My number three would be Madden. I know this year is the focus, some of the feature focus can be a little granular from like the total passing and a little casual to the story mode. But I still think that sort of one of the things that I like and they hit upon is I think they keep evolving little things about the gameplay. I find a little bit more joy in the running. I think I'm having, you know, to constantly be a little smarter from year to year in you know, who I throw to and identifying what defenses are doing and how to, you know, wait them out and how to, you know, read what's going on. So, you know, yes, it's a, you know, we always talk about features when we talk about what's new in a new sports game. But I think, you know, playing it, while it's not perfect, certainly, I know that people have plenty of gripes, but I think, you know, I still find it's a game that I just have fun playing from down to down.
Sure. Yeah, I've had a hard time with Madden this year. What's funny is that I'm actually going to be chatting with a couple of the developers about this, but I've played every Madden ever, I think. If not every Madden ever, almost every Madden ever. But even, you know, just like looking at this generation since the PS4, Xbox One, I'm pretty much the same exact Madden player that I was. I kind of do the same kinds of things. And by that, I don't mean call the same plays. But, you know, I know how to play the game. I play it regularly. But even though I'm the same player, I've gotten a lot worse at it. Like, you know, if I go pick up Madden 13 or 14, actually, that's probably too long ago. But Madden, let's see, what was this, 18, 17? If I pick up Madden 14 or 15, when in my online league I made like the championship, you know, the NFC championship or the Super Bowl a few times, I would be good. And I play Madden 18 and I'm terrible because the game has just gotten better in the sense that it's much more realistic. But for me, that is translated into, man, I don't have any success anymore, whereas I used to be pretty good at Madden. Now I'm just flat out terrible.
Yeah, and certainly when I say some of that, you know, that's a little bit more successful against the computer than against online. But that, you know, online is another one of those, you know, challenges that I think I still have to, you know, definitely, you know, keep working on and whatnot. And I don't call myself a good online player by any means, but it is fun to kind of gauge how the skill sets are definitely different.
For sure. All right. Well, what's number two on your list for 2017?
Number two for me would be the Golf Club 2.
Nice.
I really like the addition of the societies, and you know, certainly while I would love, you know, more customization, it's obviously year one for that particular feature. that was something nice to have. Just, you know, they obviously needed a little bit of a carrot in that department. But you know, mainly, you know, like I was saying about Madden, a lot of it is just I do like the feel of just stroking the ball, you know, whether it be drives or putts or, you know, just chips or whatnot. It's interesting because a lot of games, sports games, I play 2-3 matches or games. I start to burn out by that third match, start making bad decisions and whatnot. But I liked when I was playing the golf club, how I just kind of kept getting in the zone. And as long as I kind of had some concentration and whatnot, my feel for just the gameplay and what, and just you know, swinging the clubs just seemed to get better, and it definitely it's just a fun game to play. And obviously, there's the course creator and whatnot as well, which is always real nice.
Yeah, while the Golf Club 2 didn't make my top three list, I'm a big fan of the franchise. I'm a big fan of the studio. I really enjoy the game for all of the reasons that you just said. I just need to get back to playing it a little bit more. But this was actually a really good year for golf games. Not only the Golf Club 2, but I don't know if you play Golf Story. I've been playing that a little bit lately. That's a whole lot of fun. And then, of course, you had Everybody's Golf. So somehow, even without the traditional EA golf game coming out, this has been a great year for golf in 2017.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a void like that. It's nice to see other people, you know, jump in and offer some good products.
Absolutely. All right, well then, it comes down to number one. Matt Cotto, what was your favorite sports video game in 2017?
For me, it was Pro Evolution Soccer.
Yes, yes, also my number one. Love it.
I think last time we talked, we touched on Pez a bit, and the sense that I was just amazed how they altered the gameplay to slow it down, add more physicality, and yet it's still, you know, performed and felt a lot like I expected it to, which was kind of nice to have the new and the familiar sort of in the same time. You know, my club is to me one of those things that I get into, and it probably isn't the most feature rich of the sort of fantasy, you know, modes out there, but I kind of like the random selection kind of mixed with the agents and special agents to kind of whittle down. So there's still some randomness to it, but you also kind of know what kind of player you're going to get, which is nice. And so for me, I think I would love for them next year to really tackle the Master League GM sort of franchise mode. I'd love for them to keep going with that, because I think that needs an overhaul. But the gameplay and whatnot is definitely going in the right direction. I just love playing the game.
You nailed it. I love playing the game. It's now late December. I have been playing this game since it came out, and it's pretty much my go-to, right? You know, if I got 20, 30 minutes in an evening before I'm going to go to bed and I just want to play something, it's so hard for me to not go play Pro Evo, because it's just, it feels so good. You know, when you play it, you really understand the controls. You start to, you know, the controls are terrific. The players move so beautifully. You understand as you put your team together how you're going to be successful. It's just, I can't think of a better playing sports video game. And so funny, because you're all about my club. I'm all about the Master League. Yes, I know the Master League, relatively speaking, is very similar to what it's been for the last couple, 2 or 3 years. But I totally get it. I understand scouting. I understand how to properly set up my, you know, 2 or 3 different rosters, because, you know, you're not going to roll the same 11 out there if you got a week where you got a Premier League match followed by a Europa League match and then an FA Cup qualifier, right? I understand that. I understand the nuances of the budgets now, both the transfer budgets and the salary budgets. I understand the youth club and when to sign players and when to put them out on loan. Like, all of those things works so beautifully, and then when you take that and you combine what works on the field, it's just, to me, it's the best sports game out there, and hearing you say that it's your number one just fills me with happiness. I love it. Love it.
One of the things I'd like to add real quick that I really like, and it influences you know, gameplay and even a little bit into Master League as well, is the advanced instructions. So, you know, being able to sort of, you know, if I'm down or if I'm not getting a lot of success, to maybe change up my tactics a little bit to, you know, maybe suit it towards a particular player or a particular side of the field or whatnot. And also then how that goes into which players I sign in the transfer window or who I keep. It sort of touches on everything, but it's not so specific that, okay, it's just about if, you know, if I do this, I'm going to win all the time or whatnot. But it's always kind of playing with different tactics, which is a nice little layer.
Absolutely. Well, Matt Cotto from Game Informer Sports Desk, thank you very much. Anything else that you want to mention to, you know, how people can follow you or see what you're doing before we let you go?
No, I think you covered it, but, you know, thanks very much again for having me on.
You got it. Thank you. Happy holidays and have a great 2018.
You too.
Well, all right. Continuing one of my favorite things to do, which is, as you all know already, talking to friends of the show from years past about their favorite sports video games of 2017. We've got two of my favorite people on. Up first, and they're both with Franchise Hockey Manager. Up first, the community manager for Franchise Hockey Manager, Mr. Adam Burnett. Adam, how are you? Welcome back.
Thanks for having me on again, Rich. Excited to be back.
And we've got the producer of Franchise Hockey Manager, Mr. Jeff Riddles. Jeff, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Happy to be here.
Awesome. Well, this is going to be fun. We're going to do this fantasy football snake draft style. How does that sound?
Sounds good.
So I guess before we get to your top three games of 2017, Adam, do you have any honorable mentions or anything that you want to at least give a shout out to in the sports game world that's not on your top three?
Oh, man. You know, there was a lot of good games this year. I had a really tough time trying to think of just my top three. So you know what? I don't think, because mine might be different, so I'm going to just leave it as a surprise.
All right. Sounds good. Jeff, any honorable mentions you might want to give a shout out to at all?
I'm going to cover my bases by throwing out of the park baseball in there, just so I mentioned it at some point. I don't want to Marcus that at me, so that gets an honorable mention.
Very good. All right. Well, let's start with you, Adam. We'll do we'll start with you, and then, as I said, we'll go fantasy football draft snake style. Adam, what is number three on your list for your favorite sports games for 2017?
My number three choice, after quite a bit of thought, was going to be Everybody's Golf for PlayStation 4.
Very interesting. You know, it's been a great year for golf games. Everybody's Golf, Golf Story, and the Golf Club too.
Yes.
So I'm interested to hear, A, why Everybody's Golf, and perhaps even B, why that golf game over the others.
Well, I didn't say it's over the others yet.
Very good.
But Everybody's Golf, I mean, for those not familiar, I mean, obviously most people should be, is the newest Hot Shots game, obviously changed back to what the Japanese name is. But it's exactly what I wanted in an arcade golf game. It's fun. It's easy to pick up. It's quick to jump on for 10 minutes, play around, put it down. Don't have to think about it too much. The mechanics really haven't changed a huge amount from the first game of the series to now. Everything I like about it is still there, and it's still fun to play.
Nice. You know, I have not played that. I have played the other two golf games and enjoyed them both immensely, but have not done Everybody's Golf. Sounds like I should.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Good to know. And that is PS4 exclusive, right?
It is, yes.
Okay. Very good. All right, Jeff, what is number three on your list of your favorite sports games from 2017?
Number three for me was Motorsport Manager. They're a management game, PlaySport Games, British developer and published Sega, so obviously better known for Football Manager as far as management games go. There have been racing, car racing management games before. It's been a little while, I think, since we've seen a good one. This kind of hits the right notes. It originally started out, it was iOS and Android mobile game. And that's been out for a couple of years before they published a PC and Mac version of it. And I think they've got a Linux version as well. They did that. It was actually very late in 2016. So I'm caught 2017 game, even though it was released in late 2016. Normally, you wouldn't expect a lot of depth or particularly impressive graphics from a game that was an iOS port, but I almost have a little trouble understanding how playable it would be. I didn't play it on the phone or on a tablet, but somehow it really is a full-fledged PC game. Graphics are, it's not nothing earth-shattering, but they're nice to look at. It's sort of a nice strategic challenge. It's not super intensive, not a lot of micromanagement, but you can, you've got decision that you can see the effect of decisions you're making. It can be frustrating at times if you sit in a race and you're doing reasonably well and then somehow blow something with a pit stop or engine trouble or something at the last minute, and you wind up dropping several places back in the stand at the finish because of that. But overall, it's a nice experience. A little bit of a misstep. The first DLC they released for it was actually for endurance racing, which I don't think really added a whole lot to the experience other than drawing out the races a lot more. So I'm not sure if that was necessarily the best choice for them, but I think they could go in a lot of interesting directions with it. Maybe if they get a license for Formula One or even American IndyCar racing or even NASCAR, I'm not sure how well it would adapt to going around in a circle over and over again, or an oval rather. But no, it's a really nice balance of management and without overwhelming the user. So pretty solid effort, and be interesting to see where Sega and PlaySport go with this in the future.
So, I'm so glad you mentioned this, because this is a game that I've heard several people talk about, and I actually got the iOS game Motorsport Manager, and I played it some, and I don't know enough about what I'm doing to know if I'm doing it right. And I don't know if I'm supposed to be successful yet, or if I'm building towards success. Like, I have the feeling that people that truly understand motorsports, F1 in particular, just get what's happening a lot better than me. Impressive package, like very impressive. I'm just a little sort of at a loss for what exactly, for whether I'm doing anything right, I guess, for lack of
Yeah, I think, I'm pretty much in the same boat, but particularly if you're starting out at the bottom level in it, which is what I did. And you do see a little progress after the first year or two, and then it becomes a lot more noticeable, and then you start and it gets more interesting from that point. So it takes a little while to get into, but once you get there, it's a lot of fun.
Good. All right. Well, let's stick with you, Jeff, for your number two, your second favorite sports video game in 2017.
My second favorite would be one I just actually picked up about a week ago, so obviously it made a pretty big impression on me in that time. Fire Pro Wrestling World.
Oh boy, that's
Spike Chunsoft. We're working for Out of the Park Developments, which has been around for I think coming up close to 20 years now. This is one of the few franchises that's actually older than us. This back to 1989, I think the first version of this game was, the TurboGrafx-16. That is, coming
Real
up.
Back ways.
Yeah, way back, way, way back. It's actually reminiscent in a lot of ways of, there's an arcade game called Mat Mania I played way too much of in the 80s. Probably like 85, 86. This is sort of, it's not directly related to that, but sort of the spiritual successor of that. And it's where that game would have gone if it had gotten much more elaborate, added a lot more to the wrestlers' move sets, and upgraded the graphics and sound and so on through the years. It's not really like the 2K's WWE games, which are beautiful to watch and nicely animated and all of that. It's much more arcadey, but it's a really fun experience. It is incredibly moddable. I just looked a minute ago. There were been something like 800 new mods uploaded to their Steam Workshop in the last week alone. They released it in the summer. I think it was back in July as an early access game, and then just went into full release middle of December. And from the sounds of it, it's been doing really well. They put it on a deep discount during the spring, the Steam winter sale. I think it's, I got it for 13 something Canadian. So I think it's must be $10 US. Very, very cheap game, you know, easy to, then no reason not to. And I think they just announced, I heard they've got a license with New Japan Professional Wrestling. So that'll presumably be coming in as DLC fairly soon. And you know, we'll see. Maybe they'll add U.S. companies after that. Right now, it's just you just get fictional wrestlers with the game. But I mean, I've already downloaded 300 and something real wrestlers that people have modded into the game. They've got really nice mod tools. You can create pretty much anybody you can think of, and it's actually not just pro wrestling either. It's they give you an option where you can fight MMA style in the octagon, and people you can. Want to mod guys in, you can add pretty much anyone you wanted. So if you ever wanted to see how Elvis would do against Bruce Lee in a steel cage match, you can go. Do it in this game. Just a ridiculous amount of fun.
Wow. Okay. All right. There we go. Okay. Sorry, I lost my audio there for a second. I'll edit that out. Okay. Well, excellent. Well, that is definitely one I have not heard yet. That's awesome. Now we will go back to you, Adam. What is number two on your list of sports video games for 2017?
Number two on my list came down to a game that drove me absolutely insane, a game that I loved and hated all at the same time for various reasons, and that is the Golf Club 2.
Okay. All right, so I'm a big fan of this. I'm interested to hear what you say about it.
Well, again, golf games are something I've always liked. It's something I've always enjoyed for going back to playing DOS PC games. It was some of the first games I ever had have been golf games. And so that idea of the arcade sim has always been fun, which is why everybody's golf was my number three pick. To have number two be the Golf Club 2, it just did everything right. It took what was great about the Golf Club 1 and just made it better. For the most part, it made chipping and putting more aggravating than ever. And when we got playing in some of, for instance, Pasta Padre tournaments where he made us shoot 75 over par, drove me absolutely crazy when you're missing a 2-foot putt.
75 over par.
And then you'd come back and shoot minus 40 on another tournament and still only be in 20th spot. So the fact that that could happen in back-to-back weeks was amazing. Being able to play against, well, your ghost or Pasta's ghost or Pete Dodd's ghost and beat them or see how they come at playing any given hole is always interesting as well.
Yes, totally love
it. But having those friendly conversations, tournaments, bragging at Twitter when you make a stupid, ridiculous shot or when things go horribly wrong, having people yell and scream, how is it possible you put up that good of a score on this ridiculous golf club course? Because I mean, there was one that I remember vividly, and the hole was, you started like 200 feet below the hole, and if you didn't land your first shot up, you were immediately shooting about a 7 on the hole, and there was nothing you could do. And so infuriated me, but I kept coming back to it time and time again. Had a bit of a break for it when, you know, we got hit with the onslaught of sports in September and October. But I'm coming back to it, and I will still be coming back to it for throughout the next year because that's how much fun I'm having with it.
And you're playing that on PS4 as well?
I am right now, yes.
Look, the thing to me about the Golf Club, and again, I'm a big fan of both the original and the new one, and I've bought them both. I haven't played Golf Club 2 in a while. The thing about the Golf Club is you need to play. And it sounds silly, but you got to play. You got to put in some time. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I don't even mean in a grind, because you're not really grinding for stats or anything like that. It's simply like real golf. You have to learn how to play it. You got to get the reps in. You have to understand critically what putting really is and how to gauge distance and direction, which is huge. To have any sort of level of success in the Golf Club, to me, is about consistently playing the game, which
absolutely
I don't say is a bad thing, but it's definitely a thing that, to me, if you know, that's saying something. It definitely puts some demands on you.
Well, that's, again, too, why I like having Everybody's Golf and the Golf Club, because you have those slightly different molds of golf games.
Makes sense. All right. Well, then let's get to it. Adam Burnett, your favorite sports video game of 2017 is?
Madden NFL.
Okay. I'm both surprised and not surprised, if that makes any sense.
Well, I've been in an online league for a number of years. It's continued. It's been fun. I loved Long Shot this year. It was a great idea to try and do something different. It's a fun, nice mode that, you know, you play through a nice, basically interactive movie. I haven't gone back yet. I really want to go back and try it again, see how things go. But all the little additions this year, just the little fine tuning of things, has really made that big difference to me of what makes this year's Madden better than even last year's Madden. And I'm just enjoying it. I'm back playing Mutt constantly. I mean, I've ripped over 1,200 packs. Now, again, 1,200 free packs, but that gives you an idea of how much Madden I've played since it's released.
A lot of packs. How do you get 1,200 free packs? That's just by playing the game and you get those rewards?
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. I don't play a lot of online. It's just the challenges. To me, like that's what Mutt is to me. Like, if you remember back 10 years ago, they used to have like the week-by-week challenges of teams coming back or setting new records. That's what I played Mutt for. But, I mean, it's just the fundamental core of football is fun. It's fun to hit a guy on a 20-yard slant. It's fun to beat two tackles, slip through them. It's fun to cause a fumble and make your friend go, oh, man, why did I do that? Because you just knew the play was coming. There's just so much to enjoy about the game, and that's why it is my number one sports game of the year.
Very good. Good stuff. And the league continues, and I'm looking forward to changing teams. And seeing what I can do with whatever happened to them in the league this year, which I don't know what did happen to them. I don't think they did well, but we'll see, right?
Yep.
All right, very good. All right, Jeff, what is your favorite sports video game of 2017?
Well, since I have no shame whatsoever, it has to be Franchise Hockey Manager 4.
Awesome. The judges accept that.
I mean, if I can't say my own game is my favorite, I know I shouldn't be doing it. No, I think we made a lot of improvements this year. It wasn't sort of one huge leap forward in any particular area, but we added a lot of smaller improvements this year, just a variety of things like taking the NHL back a few, the historical game back a few more years, adding the storyline engine from Out of the Park Baseball. We basically did a whole lot of wish list stuff this year, and I think I published a list at some point, and it was hundreds of points long, all the different things we've upgraded and changed over the last few months of development. And, you know, we're continuing to upgrade and change stuff. We just put the new update out right before Christmas, added another playable league and a few other things, and we will still be doing yet even more for at least another couple of months or so. So I'm very happy with you know, the response we've had to FHM4. Sales have been doing very well. Had a really good, just finishing up a really good Steam winter sale now, which will be running for, as we're recording this, another 12 hours or so.
Yeah, and by the time people really hear it, it will be over.
Yeah, it'll be fast, but there'll be other sales, or, you know, buy it at full price. Hey, I won't mind that either. But no, I think the game has come along really nicely this year, and we've got a good base now to build on, and we'll be doing even better things with it next year.
Yep, I agree with everything you just said, and we are very proud of what you guys have done with Franchise Hockey Manager 4, all of us here. And it's great to have these two, you know, great PC franchises, and obviously our mobile game. It's a lot of fun to make them, so I'm very happy that you picked Franchise Hockey Manager 4. And so, speaking of FHM4, before we let you guys get out of here, you guys collaborate every week as the third hour of Out of the Park Night around the world, doing a live stream every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern on our Twitch channel. What have you guys been doing lately, and sort of what are your plans for the near future, so folks listening to this can get up to speed when they tune in and check it out?
Well, we've got two games and sort of a third going right now at the moment. The one we just finished up earlier tonight was our Western Hockey League game, Canadian Major Junior Hockey, playing as the Brandon Wheat Kings, which is sort of Adam's local team, relatively local, the only major junior team in Manitoba. We're off to a good start with them. It gives us the chance to show off sort of a different aspect of the game than the NHL games we normally do, because it's, you know, limited to the junior age players, 20 and under, and there's various other different challenges to it than there would be with a typical NHL game. We've also got a game going as the current version of the Florida Panthers, which is, I think, what we'll be doing the next up Wednesdays. And Adam also has a sort of a side project going with an expansion team in Seattle in the NHL. I think you're, what, up to 2021 on that now?
We are in 21-22, just to see kind of what a Seattle team might look like. And it turns out the first year, not like Vegas at all.
Yeah. And that's you're sort of doing that irregularly whenever there's time to go on. We've done it a few times during the holidays, I think. And we may wind up doing that at some point on the regular Wednesday night ones. But right for now, it'll probably just be Florida and Brandon on those.
Yeah, that's been a lot of fun.
That elusive championship.
Been a lot of fun to see your pop-up streams, like you said, during the holidays. It's been really cool to see that, and the fans have enjoyed it too, which has been great to see as well. Well, all right, gentlemen, thank you very much. Adam Burnett, Community Manager for Franchise Hockey Manager. Jeff Riddles, Producer for Franchise Hockey Manager. Happy New Year, gentlemen. Have a great 2018, and we'll talk to you again a little bit later this year. What do you say?
Happy New Year.